friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is week three waivers. I'm Chris Welsh. That is Jake Seely. We got all the stuff for you because, unfortunately, there was a lot of stuff and some things as well, even for Monday Night Football. We are going to be going through Mr. Jake Seely's incredible waiver wire column, which you can check out if you have a subscription to The Athletic. Just go over to theathletic.com. Better yet, go to Jake Seely on Twitter at AllInKid. One of the top tweets will be the waivers, or if you're listening to this a little bit later, it'll be the ranks. Click on that. It takes you to The Athletic. You sign up. Everybody is happy and glorious and winning their fantasy football leagues. You can get all of that stuff for like a buck a month, so go and check it out today. Sign up. I implore you, because it's a great read. Great read with all the nuggets that you're going to need. And unfortunately, Jake, it's a whole lot of nuggets. It's like a 24-pack from McDonald's of nuggets from this week. And there's just one big giant nugget that's stuck into three or four pieces that we're going to be talking about at the top waiver wire. I know it's a hardcore top analogy that you love, but that's kind of where we're at for this week. So are you ready to dive into all of this madness?
Yeah, I think we should.
Are you an injury guy? Are you like a, you know, like there's people that can watch like those gross like surgeries or, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, send me that video of somebody getting whatever. Are you one of those guys, or are you, do you have more of a soul and you can't watch people get injured and hurt and you refuse to see them? Which side?
Why can't it be both? Honestly, I have a soul and I feel terrible, especially if something, but I'm also curious to see what happened. It's like, I'm not like a, ooh, I need to see it. How that was gross. That was so cool. No, like, I legitimately looked for the video of Nick Chubb last night because I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to see like what kind of injury it was, more because my curiosity, but I still feel god awful terrible for the guy.
That sounds like someone without a soul that's trying to make them be very soully. No, I'm just joking. There's three sides. There's the people that obsessive about injuries. There's the curiosity factor. And then there are people like me who I cannot do it. It's a straight block for bad injuries. And
no, see, that's the thing is like Nicole and I send each other stuff on Instagram of people failing, like kids running into things.
I can do
and
that.
Snowboard accidents. And like, well, that's the thing. It's like that. That's kind of like it's not so much that I'm like, oh, yeah, it's awesome. Like I see people get hurt a lot. So I'm like, oh, my God, I can't stomach it. I was just genuinely curious, like how bad it was. It was super bad. Did I watch it a second time? No. But I was curious to see what happened.
I watched the play live. Didn't see the leg portion. And then I followed everybody else.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Because when you saw it live, it didn't look like it from the angle watching the game. And when he got tackled because it was a kind of a pile up, it didn't look like really anything happened.
No, I'll be honest with you. I saw the play. I turned away and then I came back and I was like, oh, everybody's down. And then he's carted off. And then I just trusted everybody. I just can't do it. I can't do the injuries. And it's unfortunate, especially if you weren't paying attention yesterday and you woke up to it. That Nick Chubb is done. I don't think I haven't seen it this morning, the official analysis of what it is, but all the things look to be torn and all the things look to be broken.
Oh, we don't have the official, but we have Stefanski saying.
Yeah, everybody is saying he's done. And Adam Schefter coming out with, I mean, just from the top rope being like, hey, by the way, in 2015, he tore his MCL. And everyone's like, okay, like we get it. We don't need to see all that. And people were taking it like that's what happened. But it was
engagement.
Yeah, exactly. I was getting paid by Twitter. It was brutal. And Nick Chubb is going to be gone. And it, you know, there's the fantasy aspect of it, but also it's just like sad because like he was a very popular, like this is a guy that's going to lead the league in fantasy across the board. And this is the dude. And you hate to see the best players get knocked out. And we already had it happen in week two. And what that has turned into, though, is now the theoretical, I believe, you believe, the number one waiver claim from the week. So we're going to kind of ruin the number one on waivers.
Of the year.
Yeah, maybe of the year, exactly.
Well, and Nakua.
Okay, well, that's a good, actually, debate. That'll be a really great debate. But Jerome Ford looked fantastic last night. Had an incredibly great cutback run. Was consistently breaking tackles. He looked like everything that you dream of the guy that is backing up a superstar. And it always humbles me too, because I was very like, oh, let's be very hardcore about week one and waivers. And you know, how often are we really gifted with not only like a top guy going down, but a really great replacement that's sitting out on the wire. And then sure enough, you have this situation where Jerome Ford looked incredible and he will be the guy. So with this injury, I mean, you're saying it right now, pickup of the year, is there no worry that they're going to bring someone else like a Kareem Hunt who knows the offense? I'm not saying, because I think people are barking a little bit too much about this, that when anyone says Kareem Hunt's going to join the Browns, that means that he'll just take over the Nick Chubb role. It's just another back that is very familiar with the system. But Jerome Ford looks like the guy, and he will be the guy, and he's going to go for all the fab this weekend or this week.
So back when last year, I had Jerome Ford in the same tier as Rashad White and Brian Robinson. Now, as of today, we'd probably say Brian Robinson deserves to be ahead of the Rashad White tier. But I just like those are the names that are trying to evaluate tier wise. Damien Pierce, too, going into the draft. So that kind of gives you an idea of what I think about Jerome Ford to begin with. I think that you saw it, size, speed, good cutbacks. The problem is, and he's a decent receiver. The problem is sometimes he'll run into congestion and like they'll kind of like not always see the blocks, but the offensive line's good. The offense is going to help him. So I'm not that concerned. And where I go with all this is saying, I watched Kareem Hunt. I didn't think he looked that great last year. He still looked good. I just don't think he's Kareem Hunt from pre-injury 2021, which I referenced in the article. Like when he injured his calf in 2021, I know 2022 is a whole nother year, but he looked like the guy that came back from the injury. Like, it doesn't look like he got better last year. And I'm saying to say is like, yeah, sure, Kareem Hunt signs today. He knows the Browns. He knows the offense. But I don't think he's going to be anything more than what he was. He's Kareem Hunt. He's a timeshare piece. I think this whole talk of multiple offers, just a little eyebrow raising that nobody signed him. Like, he's really holding out for, like, what more was he going to get? Like, he's still not going to get a starter role anywhere. So I don't think he's a serious threat. I'd actually be more concerned, and this might sound crazy, I'd be more concerned if they signed Leonard Fournette, because at this point in Leonard Fournette's career, he's only a pass catcher. And I think that would be my bigger concern, is that instead of ceding 20-25% of the touches, we would actually get kind of a timeshare 55-45 type of split. But I think Ford is go for it. You know, there's very few opportunities to get a running back like this. And even if they sign somebody, even if they trade for Cam Akers, this blows up in our face in 2 or 3 weeks, you still have to take the chance that what we saw is what we have going forward. And that's a potential top 15.
Yeah, and I think outside of just wanting to have volume because you lost depth, I just don't think the team would need to be aggressive. Like, oh, we don't have a run. This isn't like the...
They have Pierre Strong.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the point. It's not like they have Cam Akers and they're like, oh God, this is horrible. It's like, no, Jerome Ford looked fantastic. Like Jerome Ford, I think they can put the back of that backfield on. It's just they may need some depth. I don't think it comes from trades. And Cam Akers, you're right, I wouldn't be worried about. I'm still not even worried if it's any of those guys. If it's Fournette, if it's Hunt, I think it is more protection for them than anything else. But Jerome Ford is going to be the top guy. We can talk briefly a little bit about it once we get into the big waiver section. Other news going around, Saquon injury is a common ankle sprain, a common ankle injury. He's going to be out for 3 weeks. That's a big thing.
3 weeks, minimum. They didn't say like only, definitely. They said minimum.
Which
that's still speculative. I still don't feel great.
Feel great about it. And I like if you never, I don't know where you are in injuries, but like Saquon is the Giancarlo Stanton in the baseball world of injuries in football.
Stop,
so I'm just saying, it's brutal. It's 3 weeks now, and we'll see like how quick it moves through. Are we doing this Cam Akers thing again? Just want to get it out of our system here, Jake.
To the Giants?
No, not to the Giants. Just this Cam Akers moving on to, I mean, Kyren Williams has obviously moved on to be the number one back. That was the other big piece of news, because Cam Akers was deactivated like, I think while the morning games were going on, or maybe it was like right before the game started up. Kyren Williams was the top guy. There's another guy, if he happened to be still sitting out there on waivers this week, that you would pay attention to. But do you believe Cam Akers is done?
No, and that's why I told people, like, I wouldn't drop him until see where he goes. I don't think he'll necessarily be a lead anywhere he does go. But, you know, and everybody can hate me for this, because I put out the tweet and the Fantasy Life Twitter account said, where do we want to see Akers go? What's the best landing spot? And everybody's about to tune out as soon as I said this. My response was the Browns, so we don't have to worry about him anymore. And then... Yeah,
that went well.
I ruined Nick Chubb's. It's my fault. I ruined that for everybody. Just like how I ruined J.K. Dobbins the week before when he went into the end zone. And I said, just has to stay healthy. Fringe RB1. Yeah, so I am worse than Tim Anderkurse. We'll say, look, he could be a high-end backup somewhere. And then he's basically in the conversation of like a Zeke if Ramondre Stevenson gets hurt or something like that. So 10 team, you can probably move on. 12 team might be tougher depending on your depth. I would see where he ends up first.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a really good approach. It's like you don't have to be dramatic unless there are really good options that are sitting out there. But you hold on, you kind of see what ends up happening. I do think there are scenarios where you could move on, like not even just 10 team, but like shorter bench type of stuff. If there are really good waivers out there, I think the key for everybody at all times, waivers are a dictation of the moves you make when you're talking about straight cuts or moving on from players all the time, because I play in plenty of leagues that have good available players and I play in plenty of leagues that have no available players. So the idea, like after week one, there could have been justification to move on, and there still may, but like guys like, you know, Marvin Mims and whatnot, and then they go out and, you know, have a big game all done in a couple catches, but it's like you'd probably not want to do that. Kendre Miller, same thing. You've got some banged upness of Jamal Williams. Kendre Miller, some people could have moved on from week one. You don't want to quite do that. So hold where you can. Let the waivers themselves be a little bit of a dictation of the moves. The other quick things here, Joe Burrow, uncertain to play in week three. My big question is, if even if he's active, it's Monday night. You kind of have to. Yeah, I don't think you can wait. You got to make a different move this week, right? Unless you get like a by Thursday or Friday, like he's golden. He's good. He's golden pony boy. Otherwise, you got to put some. You got to put Purdy in there. You got to get somebody else that's sitting out in the wire, right?
Yeah, Purdy against the Giants. Love that. Jared Goff, if he's still out there at home, always love that. But yeah, you can't wait. It's the last game too, so you can't
also
wait.
With kind of uncertainty is Austin Eckler is without a timetable right now, which is not good. He's got his own podcast, so I don't know if he'll really talk about it. He kind of talks about some of it, but I don't think he broke his own news. He was selling Josh Kelly last week. Josh Kelly looked, it was just bad this past week. Are you going to try, if Eckler's out, are you going to trust Josh Kelly this week, Joshua Kelly?
In this matchup against Minnesota, okay. Yeah.
I'm just seeing. It just wasn't good. The volume wasn't
there.
That's
nothing more than it was last week at RB2.
But we've seen sometimes he might be a back that is actually better with Eckler there than when he's given the sole gig. I said that
on All in Football on Monday. I said the same thing. I said Josh Kelly, it just comes down to his, like a lot of running backs go back. Oh, no, it was with Pat. It was Pat doing rankings. Go back to Lamar Miller days. Some running backs are better on the 10 to 15 touches. A little bit even less than for Joshua Kelly. But, you know, it's still volume. I'd play him over Damian Pierce and his offensive line against the Jaguars this week.
Well, Damian Pierce is trending in a very wrong direction. The Niners used to do that.
He has no offensive line. Yeah, well, it's like four of his five offensive linemen are out.
I mean, that's not going to change anytime soon. Maybe that's a dynasty reason to have him. But this season, he's trending.
Week five, they're supposed to get half of them back.
Okay, that'd be good. But like the Niners used to do it with Raheem Mostert. Raheem Mostert was specifically a back that would come in like, you know, the seventh play of a drive when defense is starting to get gas and you got fresh legs of one of the faster backs in the NFL. And you could kind of thrive with that. Same thing. That's where Joshua Kelly might actually benefit from you coming in. Defense is a little bit more gassed. You come in and change a pace and then you dominate, but he's still a play. So we'll see what happens with Austin Eckler coming up this week. You guys got waiver decisions to make. We've got the top five at running back, top five at wide receiver, and just a couple streaming options we'll throw out to you at quarterback and tight end. We did talk about number one. Let's just talk about the magnitude of it one more time. Jerome Ford comes in at number one on your waivers for running back. That was not going to be the case until Monday Night Football. Actually, how you have it set up is exactly where I was thinking. Jerome Ford takes over as the dominant number one. And I know you're not big into the fab and the percentages and stuff like that, because we're now into a space where people have spent. But is it fair to say this is the aggressive move? Whatever aggressive looks like in your guys' league, this is what you have to be. Like I went in the pentathlon league I'm doing. I went 35% on Puka after week one. That looks like a steal.
Oh.
Yeah, Puka. That looks like a steal now. But now I've kind of depleted myself. What do you think in the Puka world Jerome Ford is? Puka was like somewhere between 35 and 60% of fab. Where do you think Jerome Ford is now?
No, so I would go with Gainwell. I would go with whatever Gainwell went for, go 20% higher, at least.
Okay, that's a good marker. So, but it's fair to say that this is kind of like an unload situation. You believe, I believe, a lot of people believe Jerome Ford is the guy. I know you haven't got, you're going to be doing your ranks. It'll be dropping tomorrow. I did my initial ranks and I put Jerome Ford at like 17, I think, this week. Like that's, I think it's a top 20 back easy. So, I mean, does that feel like when you can get top 20 backs, you just kind of go as hard as you need to, especially if you lost a back.
Might even be too low.
That might be too low. That's right. That was just my initial.
The only problem is facing Tennessee.
Yeah. Is that a problem?
And then we go back to this, the same conversation I had with Pat. Is it the chicken or the egg? Is it a mediocre? Is it a middle of the road vanilla run defense that just is highlighted because you just throw on them? Or is it actually a good run defense? I compared them. The Commanders and the Titans are basically the same team.
Oh, I see that. Yeah. Both are garbage.
Solid defense. No.
Sam Sick Howell's of Sam. Team. I mean, and Jahan Dotson. I'm salty of Sam Howell because Jahan
if
Dotson.
If you didn't think Sam Howell had a good game in Denver, you're That's drunk.
Fine. Well, Jahan Dotson didn't. I think he had 3 catches, 22 yards in the first half, and he didn't get looked at one more time.
Exactly. That's 2 weeks in a row. He had like 4 catches for something yards in the first half. Like Sam Howell looks at him early and then forgets.
I need the prop.
And we were just mad about Jahan
I need
Dotson.
The prop market out there to give me first half player stats for Jahan Dotson, please.
Oh, so now we're doing like first 4.5 innings in baseball?
Yeah, exactly. I need that. I need like first half catches.
We're doing first half props for football?
Please. Let's make it more convoluted. Okay, so yeah, I buy that. Who do you think you're going to have higher this week? Jerome Ford or Joshua Kelly without Eckler?
Ford.
Okay, I completely agree with that because I'm like getting out on Josh Kelly. So this is...
when it comes down to who I like is a better running back, Ford.
Yeah, well, and also...
Ford draft-wise ranked higher than Joshua Kelly did draft-wise.
And I think if there is a stout defense that does live in Tennessee that's going to keep going every week, Jerome Ford can also catch the ball out of the backfield a decent amount. Deshaun Watson looks horrific. And I got on here, I don't know if you remember, we did that episode with Funston on here, and I was yelling about, I don't like Deshaun Watson. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, Deshaun Watson used to be a top 5 quarterback. And I'm like, I think he looks awful. And he looks awful. He looks worse. He looks like one. Desmond Ridder proved to be the worst quarterback in the NFL without question this past week. Deshaun Watson doesn't look that much better. Every decision was bad. Their offensive line wasn't, I don't know.
Every single year, there's a few players. There's one or two. Every single year, there's one or two players that I wish I would have stuck to my guns with.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, I'm saying like, I'm not always 100% right. And we talk with a lot of smart people, yourself, Brandon Funston on The Athletic. I talk with Mayo, Meany, like talk with a lot of people, do podcasts everywhere. And I was in the vast minority. It was like you and me. Like I felt like I was on a limb by myself. I originally had Watson at like 15, 14. I was like, he looked terrible last year. And like, I don't know how much better he's going to get. Like, let's say he does improve. He has to get better. Like, does that still put him in the top 10 conversation? Everybody's like, he's been top 5. He's been number 1. He's been number 2. Like, it's just, he's going to run. And if it's just, and I'm like, he looked so terrible. Can we just say it's rust? Is it really just rust? And I moved him up him up because people are just like, you got to, like, he's got that top 5 potential. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I didn't think I ended up with him like a QB 10 because I said, once you get past the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks, you're just looking for top 5 potential. Like we sit here and talk about it all the time. It's like, we just want a top 5 quarterback. You don't want QB 10. So I said, fine, take a flyer on him around Daniel Jones. Like they could finish top 6, 7 if everything goes right. But I still hated it. And I just wish I would have been like, because he does, he looks god
awful,
like,
awful. I did stick to, luckily, because I do the same thing, and I so relate with you on that too, where you have this feeling, and then you get yourself out of it, and you don't stick to your guns, and it's something I
feel like I got beat up. Like this is just like
taking advantage of.
Fine, just stop punching me. Fine, I'll put Watson on.
I've been trying over the last 18 months in multiple sports that I do to stick to my guns a little bit harder and stuff. Watson was one of those. And I left him at 16 at quarterback. And I got eye rolls from multiple people about it, but I feel vindicated right now.
The one I stuck to my guns on was Kenny Pickett. You're never going to change.
And I was completely wrong about that. Kenny Pickett looks horrible. I was all Mr. Oh, Kenny Pickett's going to be amazing. He looks like garbage too. But guess what? Kenny Pickett looks better than Deshaun Watson. So it's awful. All of this they're pretty close. All of this is to just to come back and say like that offense is not good. Deshaun Watson, maybe it'll get better in the season, can't move the ball deep or with any of their great options. And Jerome Ford is a great check down running back. So that's why I really like him. I like him moving forward, and I would be as aggressive as you need to, really as you need to be this week. Lots of fab numbers, number one waiver claim, and what your team's running back situation looks like is probably the point of how aggressive or more aggressive you should be. Coming in at number two, it's actually the guy that was my number one before, and I was like, oh, this is the guy that we should all look at. I've definitely thought this was going to happen. It did happen. Zach Moss. Zach Moss ended up getting all of the stuff. Deion Jackson just didn't exist once he was healthy. And this was kind of spelled out for us. You could see this building. I was going to say the writing on the wall. That's the analogy. You could see the writing on the wall of, like, once Zach Moss was eligible to play, they were going to give him the run. I'm the worst with analogies, so I was trying to figure it out. But he got big run. He had a big day, I think over 100 total yards. And he comes in at number two here. So what does the gap between Jerome Ford and Zach Moss look like for you?
Pretty large for me, because also you watch that game. Speaking of pretty large, those are the lanes Zach Moss had to run through. Zach Moss was facing the Houston Texans defense and gap and gap and gap and just, and look, and nothing. This is one where I will stick to my guns. I think Zach Moss is a middle of the road running back. I think he's replacement level running back. I think the difference between him and Matt Breida right now is nothing. Like, I just think he's an average running back. But an average running back, the reason he's two is because an average running back with 20 touches every single week being a bell, he's a bell cow. A bell cow running back is going to offset a better talent in a split. And that's where I'm going. Like, if you told me I could take Samaje Perine, who'd got nothing against the Commanders, over Zach Moss and switch their situations, I would do that. And Samaje Perine would be top 20 running back. Yeah. So the gaps comes down to talent and what I believe in. I believe Ford has a decent gap. I don't know how many times I'm going to say gap here, but a decent gap, sponsored by Gap today, a decent gap over Zach Moss. But like, if I look at, you know, Baltimore this week, Zach Moss is not going to rank as a top 20 running back. I still don't believe it. Like, I will eat crow on this one if Zach Moss ends up being great every single week. I just do not believe it.
It's a good pass catcher, which maybe helps a little bit, but
he's okay.
He's like a fine pass catcher, but I don't know. Anthony Richardson.
Fine. Yes. Fine.
Anthony Richardson's pretty dynamic player that we have to see, like, over the season, like, how much does he like to throw out to the backfield?
Zach Moss is like Miles Sanders at this point in Miles Sanders' career.
Oh, come on. Miles Sanders is better. You're saying Zach Moss?
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like you're saying negative about Miles Sanders.
Well, because he's looked pretty rough so far this year. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Zach Moss is like the rough version of Miles
Sanders. It'd be nice if they I'm going to probably make your case. It's like, man, if they could just give him more, give him volume. And it's like,
Zach Moss is Deonta Foreman. Like, that kind of stuff.
Okay. All right. Let's move on from Zach Moss. So Zach Moss is not as aggressive.
Devin Singletary. There's a better one.
Okay. It still doesn't help. That doesn't make me feel any better. Zach Moss, though.
It shouldn't.
Also, as much as he is a bell cow, there is a theoretical timeline. There's a clock ticking for week five with Jonathan Taylor and what the Colts decide to do. Jonathan Taylor might be like, hey, Anthony Richardson looks good. I'm going to play. I'm not getting traded. Or, you know, all these running backs going down, he might be like, get me out of here. I'm not playing a down until I need to, until I get
still
my money.
Still got
to
get a trade.
Yeah. So there's factors.
Yeah, but see, to go back, sorry, I sort of harp on this, but go back to Devin Singletary is actually the best one, because Devin Singletary, you said not making you feel better about it, but when Devin Singletary was the guy for those 5-6 weeks with the Bills, he was a top 20 running back.
Yeah, the Bills.
Like, that's
but
why.
Was that the Bills offense or was that Singletary?
That's my point. They're mediocre running backs who given a good opportunity.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I follow you then. Yeah, sure. And Zach Moss is a mediocre running back on not a great offense. So that's where the limitation is.
But a ton of opportunities.
Yeah, that's the limitation.
And if Richardson's healthy, he'll help open up some run lanes. But again, even against Baltimore, Baltimore's defense not as scary as it used to be.
Yeah, it's not like the ideal matchup. Like, he's not going to be ranked as a top 20 is the main point. But if,
like, Zach Moss against the Cowboys, I don't even know if I would have top 30. Put it that way.
I agree with that. If you don't have a play, your number one play is Jerome Ford, but let's say you lost Saquon and you're sitting in a situation where you're going to be out a couple weeks. Zach Moss might be the perfect fit, though the matchups are not great. As a running back, you know you have for a couple weeks. So you put a big majority on Ford and have your backup contingency plan be Zach Moss. Now, number three, speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, does Justice Hill, who comes in at number three, does he fit into this same mold, or is this another gap? difference. There's another tier difference between the backs.
That's another gap just because of the usage won't be consistent. Like that's what it comes down to. This is going to be Gus Edwards and Justice Hill every single week. It's just, you know, yeah. And it's just going to be frustrating. And this is, it's the lesser version of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. I think that's, you know, although Walmart it's a little version. Bit different because, well, yeah, but I was going to say it's a little bit different too because Hill's the pass catcher and Bijan is the pass catcher. And so he's got that going for him too. It's just, it's going to be frustrating. One of them will probably finish as an RB2 and the other one will probably be like RB3 or 4. And there'll be some weeks where it's flipped and one finishes RB1 and one finishes, and then they both score. But that's the way you're going to have to deal with going forward. Justice Hill is fine. I said surprise because I thought that Moore would have jumped on board. I thought Justice Hill was going to be higher rostered than Gus Edwards, which isn't even close. It's like a 20% gap after what happened in week 1. So I was actually shocked that Justice Hill was still under 60%.
Yeah, the usage was weird, but it's like if you're comfortable with a back that's going to get somewhere between 10 and 15 touches a game, either
it's an RB3
yeah,
every single
yeah,
week.
You can just throw them out there. So again, that it's a tier difference here, and we're in a different tier. Number 4, you did put him on here. You kind of don't seem excited about it, but Matt Breida looks like he will be the back while Saquon is out. God knows what else they're going to end up doing here, but Matt Breida is most likely someone not to trust. Is he a desperation play? Like how? Like it's not very aggressive. You probably put a claim on him in some general space just because that low is a level. Back, but this is, yeah, it's low level stuff, right?
If anybody in Flex Leagues is listening, I put a $0 claim on him. Like that's just because if I don't get him, like there's other options. There's wide receivers and stuff like, just like that's how much I care about getting Matt Breida. Because I have, you're not starting him this week on a short week against the 49ers. Yeah. That's the bit. So right there, you're claiming a running back to not even start when you pick him up. So how much do you want from here? And what happens? So Eric Gray was behind Brightwell mostly because some special teams involvement too. So what if Eric Gray comes in, jumps ahead of Brightwell, they drafted him, they give him some opportunities, and all of a sudden he's turning into what is the worst case scenario, this Giants offense in a full-blown committee with all three of them. What if Matt Breida is not even the top option? What if they end up going with Brightwell? Or I just don't know that I'm going to be too excited about Breida any given week.
Yeah.
You know what? I think for right now, he's Justice Hill. He's an RB3, but he's on the Giants, and he's facing the 49ers.
Yeah, that's even worse. And then number 5, Roshan Johnson came in. A lot of people talking the usage, they were a lot closer. That offense in general just doesn't look great, but the usage, the gap was starting to close a little bit between Khalil Herbert and him. So, I mean, he comes in behind Breida, but do you think Roshan is a better long-term play if you're not looking for short-term out?
Better long-term, yeah.
Okay, so that's where that is.
Absolutely. The door's open, but I also pointed out in there the same concern for Alexander Mattison is that Madison and Khalil Herbert, because of the downs that they're in on, offensive line are doing them no favors. We're talking about 0 and negative yards before contact. And then Khalil Herbert's still over 4 yards after contact. The flip side is Roshan Johnson's got in week 2, he got 6.5 yards before contact in week 2. It's just the situations you're on the field, and that goes back to week 1. Roshan Johnson's used a lot in long downs and third downs and pass catching opportunities, so a lot of time he has more space. Again, I'm not saying that like the door isn't open, and Roshan Johnson could certainly walk through the door and close it in Herbert's face. That's why he's a long-term play. I'm just saying I'm not too enamored. Like, the reason I brought that up is to caution people from going bananas on Roshan Johnson if he's out there. That's all.
You don't think
it's basically the lesser version of you go back to your Walmart. It's the Walmart version of the Ravens.
Okay, you literally
Khalil Herbert, Gus Edwards.
Yeah, you literally Roshan answered Johnson to where I was going to go. I was going to say, do you think they're like that dual, like kind of splitty situation? Like, do you think they're heading to 100%. A split? Okay, yeah. So yeah, they're the Kmart version.
I think they already
they're
are.
The Kmart version of Bijan.
The Kmart version.
We're just going
so
down
they're
and
bankrupt.
Down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where it's then the Circuit City, and then we're just like going to gas. Station Circle
Sears,
K. Yeah, exactly. Outlet stores. Dumpsville at running back. You have a couple, by the way, in all of these in the article, there's even more running backs listed that you can look for waivers. And there's quite a few running backs on the Dumpsville. The one that caught my eye, Antonio Gibson, who, as you noted, was relegated to a change of pace back, used a lot more receiving. It just didn't seem like they cared to run him a whole bunch either. They want to maybe use him as, you know, just a guy on third downs to throw the ball to, but you got him in Dumpsville, so he's in cut territory for you.
He's now J.D. McKissic. So unless Brian Robinson gets hurt, it's how Eric Bieniemy is using him. He said he wanted to use him more in the passing game. Well, that's 80% of his opportunity, like 90%. That's all he is. So And last week was an opportunity where you could have seen a little bit more, you know, like the passing game work, because you know this against the Denver Broncos, it, like you want to pass happy, you want catch up, and then you still didn't get Gibson. I don't even know how you play him right now. And I also relative, like I'm not dropping Gibson to go chase some. I'm not going to chase Matt Breida unless I need somebody for this.
That's
week.
That's where I was going to go.
Matt Breida this week is I still don't want to start, but I would have Matt Breida ahead of Gibson because he's actually a lead and getting touches.
But like you have to pick up Breida now if you want him. Would you not cut Gibson for any of the five we talked about? Like, is the line, does the line stop at three? Did it stop at, who was
it? No, because the names you didn't even mention, like, I would go down to Jalen Warren at six. I would cut him. I would cut him for Tajay Spears. I would cut him for Chandler.
Okay, so you would cut him for all Hunt, those guys.
If Hunt, I'd take the chance, like, what if Hunt gets signed? At least Hunt, I know, would probably get more touches per week. That's what it comes down to. When can you play Gibson? Yeah. Unless Brian Robinson gets hurt.
Yeah. It's like it's a totally hidden little fantasy thing too, is those players where it's like, there may be like some inherent value, but when are you ever going to be able to take advantage of it? When are you ever going to use it? When will you ever get it right? And is that juice ever worth the squeeze? And Antonio Gibson does not seem like he's in that territory. Wide receivers do not look as sexy as they did last week where, you know, Puka Nacua was at the top. I mean, you can tell me otherwise. We don't have Puka, but we do have a Rams wide receiver that's going to come in. But coming in at number one for the waiver wire wide receivers, Josh Reynolds. I think some people might be surprised based on the names, but tell them why they shouldn't be.
Because Reynolds continues to be Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds shouldn't be a top two option for NFL teams. Like that, and I'm not hating on him. Like, oh, friend of the show, not Josh Reynolds, apparently, if you ever listen, yeah. Sorry. They just... Like, he is what he is, and he's fine. He was, like, the Rams attempted him as the two for a while there, and that didn't work out. He's a great three. Like he's, like, Tyler Boyd, like, in that kind of role. And when called upon and needed to do more, Tyler Boyd has been able to step in as the two and produce some top 35 weeks. That's Josh Reynolds. It's not every wide receiver is Justin Jefferson. Otherwise, like, would just be the coin flip every single week because all the wide receivers are amazing. Like, this is a talent disparity. Not everybody's always great. But Josh Reynolds, when called upon as the two, Jameson Williams is still out multiple more weeks. Like, we're playing this game of Tutu Atwell, who you mentioned, kind of alluded to there. Like, we have the ticking clock of Cooper Kupp. Josh Reynolds is a longer clock. It's still going. It's going for four more weeks. I was saying five once he's actually, yeah. You know how I'm thinking, like the next week once he's on the field. And then do we actually know that Jameson Williams is going to immediately step into the 1-2 role? Here's the good thing about Josh Reynolds too. You know when to start him and when not to. If Jared Goff is at home, you always start him. If Jared Goff is on the road in a dome, you consider starting him. If Jared Goff's on the road outside, you don't even think about it. See, very simple. That's the best part about Josh Reynolds.
No, that's nice when you can have it just kind of laid out to you pretty easy. Why not? Coming in at number two. Now, see, I think this could surprise some people because I think this guy is on some.
Which way?
Well, I think some people have him as a cut, and it is Romeo Doubs. Even after Jaden Reed was kind of the leading guy scoring those touchdowns, you've got Christian Watson maybe coming back at some point here. Jaden Reed stepping up a little bit more. Yet Romeo Doubs pops up for you as the number two waiver wire wide receiver this week.
Because the situation. So, yeah, I've been on record in the preseason and even on waivers. And somebody was like in waivers last week. Like, that's never happening. I said that Jaden Reed could surpass Romeo Doubs. I think he's a better talent. That hasn't happened. Jaden Reed's still only on 100% of his snaps were three wide. 100%. They've been using him a lot of the slot. Doubs is still the two if Watson is back. Do I think that could change? I've said it. I've said Reed could surpass him, but it hasn't happened yet. The door is open. We assume Watson was getting close and that he should play in week three, but if not, you're still going to play Doubs as a wide receiver four, and that's what it comes down to. Still a wide receiver four. If Watson comes back, he's a wide receiver four. Until Jaden Reed plays the 1-2 role with Watson, Romeo Doubs is still a wide receiver four, and that's why he's here. And also because of how narrow this gets. I'm going to jump right to three, because right to three, Tutu Atwell, he's got two games left. He's got two games left until Cooper Kupp is back, and then Nacua becomes a wide receiver three, and Tutu Atwell becomes basically irrelevant. I like what they've done with Atwell, and I was reluctant to believe that they were telling the truth and the fact that they had outside designs for Atwell and they were going to use him in that way. And like, it's Tutu Atwell. Like, really? I remember Tavon Austin. It's just Tutu Atwell is Tavon Austin part two. But they've been using him enough that you can use him for two more weeks. The difference is Dobbs potentially has more than 2 weeks. Tutu Atwell legitimately has 2 weeks unless something happens to Cooper Kupp and he aggravates the injury.
And unless Matthew Stafford can continue throwing 55 times per game, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for targets to be there for anybody. I mean, Puka, I actually think legitimately Puka has a chance to still be a wide receiver too. Push comes to shove when Cooper Kupp comes back, that both of those guys can be double-digit target guys. But to your point, it's safer to assume Puka's going to be a three and Tutu moves back. So again, there are that's what's interesting about this week in waivers. There are players with clocks, Miss Time or whatever her name was, Loki. Loki's coming out. They're not advertising here, but there's a clock that is following Zach Moss. There's a clock that is following guys like
they moved
Breida.
Up the date, by the way.
I know. I think it's like 2 weeks from now, right? Oh, Miss Minutes. That's what it was.
It's October 6th?
I don't know. It's soon. Thank God.
I remember it was supposed to be the 22nd and they moved it up.
We need a good show. I need Loki back in my life. But Miss Minutes is standing over some of these players and Tutu 100% is in that group.
Yeah, October 6th.
There we go.
I moved up.
Thank you. Coming in at number four, Zay Jones over in Jacksonville. The number two, even though Christian Kirk had that bounce back game versus that man defense.
Well, that's because Zay Jones missed a chunk of the game.
Do you think it was solely for, I mean, because they talked up how, Christian Kirk eats up man coverage and that's what the Chiefs had on him. You don't think this was man coverage versus Zay Jones missing time?
No, that was part of it. No, that was part of it. Zay also had a few targets and didn't catch anything for what he had. It was an off game for him. I just put Zay Jones as he's still here. He's still the number two. He's still running outside. He's still going to be on the field more than Christian Kirk. That's the problem. I'll still take Zay Jones over Christian Kirk. I'd put Christian Kirk for people that have asked. And if you're looking at the waiver column, I still put Christian Kirk in like the Jaden Reed conversation, like more usable now than Jaden Reed, but potential more value future for Jaden Reed. But kind of like he's not that much further down than Zay Jones, but I would still take Zay if I know he's healthy over Christian Kirk.
Do you think if you were thinking long term in the season, you would move Zay above Tutu? Because Tutu is like good for the forward facing. Okay. Yeah. Because it's forward facing, but Zay Jones has much better like season long ability than a Tutu Atwell. So whatever your, your waiver element is, if it's thinking now or to the future, Zay Jones might move around. And coming in at number five was Robert Woods with the Texans. Even though my boy is Nico Collins, Nico looks amazing. They actually have a lot of options there as Mechie comes back that they're going through, but Woods still makes this list.
He does. And I said, because I don't want to do it because it's Robert Woods. I was actually off Robert Woods to start the year. I said, you can find Robert Woods on waiver wire every single week. You can always find a Robert Woods. You can always find a Greg Jennings. You can always find these guys every single week. They're out there. Well, something changed the first 2 weeks is that Houston's going to pass a ton because they're their own worst enemy. It's not quite Jameis Winston, but they're garbage time. They're garbage time, garbage time, garbage time because the defense can't stop a lick. And then C.J. Stroud looks good, but he's also made some poor decisions, which have led to interceptions, which have sometimes led to potential turnovers going for scores, whether on the interception or turnover or immediately after. So they're creating their own garbage time. And if you look at this for Robert Woods and Nico Collins, hell, you play a fourth quarter four times over every single game. We're talking about the 1 and 2 wide receivers in the NFL, if it was just that. So I hate it, and I think Robert Woods is going to go belly up at some point, but at least for now, you can use Robert Woods more consistently than you can Jaden Reed and Sky Moore behind him and Adam Thielen and to keep going down from there. There are much higher ceiling guys behind him, but for usability right now, it's Robert Woods. They're not going to stop throwing the ball.
You want to talk about the...
Especially because they can't run, because we go back to the Damian Pierce thing. They can't run because their offensive line... The one thing that's interesting is that their offensive line is in shambles, but it's been able to at least do enough with Stroud having some ability in the pocket to stay and keep the plays going that they're throwing more as part of it
as well. Yeah, they trust him to throw. So, I mean, that's what he was kind of one of my sleeper backs, quarterbacks this week. In Dumpsville, Alan Lazard popped up. I thought this is an interesting one. I think on the surface, we kind of see where this is going. But, can you dump Lazard for Robert Woods right now?
You can drop Alan Lazard. I had Alan Lazard as an interesting wide receiver four this year. You know this because Aaron Rodgers loves him in
absolutely.
The end zone and the red zone. But there's no Aaron Rodgers anymore. This is very simple. Zach Wilson is going to struggle to make Garrett Wilson is the only reason Garrett Wilson's even still relevant. It has nothing to do with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, just please God, get the ball in his hand three times a game and we can still use Garrett Wilson. But Zach Wilson is bad enough. Like, I just, you go back to Jameis Winston. Jets, go trade for Jameis Winston. They have a backup quarterback plan in Taysom Hill. Like, they don't need three. They technically have three quarterbacks. Can we get something on the Jets so we can enjoy it?
I think they could also just use from a game plan change. I'd love to see them do what the Rams did against the 49ers. Just have every play, you get the ball out in like 2 seconds, you throw 5-yard slants, and you treat them like running, like wide receiver running back.
I don't think Zach Wilson's brain processes that quickly.
Well, but I'm saying make it easy. It's like if you have a guy like Garrett Wilson, like you got to do...
Just timing throws? Just hike and throw there.
Yes, man. I'm talking...
the wide receivers, hopefully
like,
there.
Timing, first read, don't make him go to second read, don't let him sit in the pocket for a long time. Just make really easy decisions.
That's what they should do with Justin Fields. Justin Fields feels indecisive as hell
right
now.
I completely agree. There was a lot of... I mean, that's how Deshaun Watson looked. Deshaun Watson didn't know what... As soon as his first look wasn't there, he would look down at the ground, he'd have a panic look in his face, and he'd run into three linemen and then, you know, get hit. Like,
see, Justin Fields doesn't look panicked. He looks so in... Like, his first read's not there right now. If you watch Justin Fields for the first 2 weeks, actually watch Justin Fields. It's the first read isn't there, and he legitimately, like, you put that quizzical gift that everybody knows, like, that's what starts happening. Yeah. He just sits there, and he's, like, staring into nothing. Like, make a decision, dude.
Yeah, and I think that's what needs to be coached up, is, like, you need to work through. If a quarterback is not capable of checking down reads, then push an offense that is beneficial to that. Like, okay, if he can't get his first read, then run. Like, tell them to do that, push to do that. But that's a whole nother thing aside. Those are your Dumpsville, your wide receivers, your running backs. If you're looking to stream this week, well, Jake has got lots of options for you. Leading at the top of quarterback, just real quick, the top three, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, Sam Howell. Do you think there's a tier of differences between these three quarterbacks if someone's looking to stream? Like the Burrow situation, these might be the options.
Yes. Yeah, if Purdy's still out there too in some leagues, I would definitely Purdy. Jared Goff, somebody asked me, he's like, Jared Goff still in my league? How? He's at home again. Please go start Jared Goff. So Jared Goff and Brock Purdy would actually be a tier, then Wilson, Stafford, and Howell. And then I would cut it off in Carr, Stroud. And then after that, it's just, I don't even want to get into after that. Because after Carr and Stroud, you're talking about Pickett and Garoppolo in a matchup, and Baker Mayfield in the matchup. And Tanner, like, there's a lot of bad streaming matchups this week.
Yeah, and I mean, also, if I had Deshaun Watson, I would be looking at these guys too. If you didn't have a backup and you were putting
Jared
there.
Goff or Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I would start Purdy over Watson this week. I think
absolutely Giants.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think Purdy's like a top. I think I have him at 11 or 10
rookie corners.
Yeah, 100%. Jump into it.
My only concern is that they get up early, and everybody's like, "Well, if they got up early," I say this a lot too. Like, if they got up early, they probably did blank. But there's a legitimate opportunity with Daniel Jones that you can get up early with a Christian McCaffrey touchdown, a defensive touchdown, a defensive touchdown, and then Purdy doesn't even.
This is
do
very
anything.
True. It just Ayuk might be a little bit questionable for the game. Purdy showed off why he can't throw deep, and I think you're going to have a lot of running, but you're also going to have a lot of those.
We've
like
talked about that before.
Yeah. Oh no, I know you've said it 100 times. But this will be like the short passes to Debo and Kittle, and you still might get two cheap touchdowns. You're going to see more Elijah Mitchell this week, so that'll be the thing. For tight ends, if you're looking to stream, Zach Ertz has looked like an absolute just steal in that market because he has a target freaking monster. But you also put Granson, right, on here, and Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, I was about to go Dick Grayson. I was about to make him Robin for a minute.
You can actually drop Tyler Higbee at this point. I was big on that's one I missed. I
huge
stood
miss
firm
me
on
too.
Higbee. But the thing was, like, I don't think anybody expected Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell to get 75 targets a week, and there's nothing left. That was the thing with Higbee. I expected to be the two. I didn't expect them to be the three. So drop him. Drop him for Ertz. Yeah, Kylan Granson, I think, is great while healthy. I think people forgot about him from last year. I'm going down this list. I don't want to go crazy, but you could play Knox, hoping for a touchdown over Higbee. You can play Hurst, who's been looking good. Durham Smythe is on the field a ton. I don't want to go as far as Gerald Everett. But hey, Tyler Conklin. I mean, Zach Wilson can't throw the ball more than 10 yards downfield, so maybe Tyler Conklin has another decent week. But you can move on from Higbee.
Yeah, I like Ertz and I like Hurst in this. You know, last week it would have been if you really had let Sam Laporta sit out there. You needed to make that move last week because he looks like he's moving into an upper echelon of tight ends. Those are some streaming options at quarterback, tight end. We got your waivers. And Jake has really got you covered. Go check out the entire article with all the names. You can pair it against some of the things we talked about over at The Athletic. On his Twitter, he has the post. You can click right through. You can sign up right there if you don't have a subscription. And then guess what? If you do, you're like a couple hours away once you're going to be listening to this from also getting the ranks, because that comes out like late midnight. and then you'll be set. Those are going to be adjusted throughout the week. You get locked in, have all the stuff, all the things. Are you anticipating any craziness in your ranks this week after all the craziness of week two?
I think there'll be some shockers.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that, like, the Jerome Ford conversation we already had, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, what is the, can I get a hint? What is the list this week? Is it, you did wrestling finishers last week.
I did wrestling finishers, which people were upset about no submissions. I said no submissions. They're completely different. I don't know. I have a list right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you got the figure thinking, four leg lock.
Well, let's see. I still have 2023 movies. I always do like the movies I've seen throughout the year at some point. Ooh, I'll let you decide. How about okay. this? Literally, we're doing this live on the podcast.
Love it.
Cartoons. Since we're just wrestling, we'll go back to cartoons. Either the top 10 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle villains.
Okay.
Or we can do the top 10 SpongeBob songs.
SpongeBob songs. We're going to go with SpongeBob.
Okay.
You know, there's a SpongeBob. Disconnect I found out. The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies I've heard is amazing. I grew up on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I love them dearly. And I told my son, I was like, oh, hey, dude, the new Ninja Turtles is out. Do you want to see it? And he was like, eh. And I was like, oh, my God, you don't like Ninja Turtles?
No, take him to see it. Like the kids
well, it's out that, streaming
like,
now,
that you so. Wouldn't think. Yeah. Oh, well, make him watch it. Like, I we were in the theater. Kids were clapping.
Yeah,
kids, like 10, 12-year-old kids.
I love the Ninja Turtles. And my mom was even like, "You," she's like, I want to take you and Parker to the movie. I'm like, he doesn't want to see it. And she was aghast because of my love for it. So these kids these days, they don't know Ninja Turtles, but they do know SpongeBob. So I think SpongeBob is a very good one. Maybe some people will be upset. But Ninja Turtles coming in the near future. So check out the article.
Well, that's what we're doing.
You get the entire list. It should be great.
SpongeBob songs this week.
I'm excited. He's a goofy goober. Jake Seeley, find him on Twitter.
I'm just trying to figure out. I have top 10 marriage, and I didn't put what about marriage?
Married,
I don't
married
remember
with children?
What my list was supposed to be.
Maybe married with children episodes?
No. Marriage. Like, I don't know if it was top 10 things I didn't know or happened, or like, I just have marriage on my list.
Mm.
I don't know what it's supposed to be. I have to figure that one out.
Well, you better figure it out pretty quick here before it becomes a problem. I got a couple lists in marriage I can think of right there that came to my mind. So follow him on Twitter, @AllInKid. You can give some suggestions. Follow me @IsItTheWelsh. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast right here on The Athletic. And until next time, friends, we'll talk to you on Thursday, ranks for week 3, right here on The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.